Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
And you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day. joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God. What a great God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord Yahweh. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother Elvi Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We are so grateful that God allows us to share his word, his revelation. Amen. That he gives us in the last days before the coming of Jesus. My brother and my sister, Jesus is about to return for his bride. My brother and sister, it's exciting to know, to experience this. As I experienced it yesterday morning, my brother and sister, the wedding, hallelujah, heaven waiting for the bride is what I experienced. Shalom, Sister Consuelo. And I tell you, it was beautiful. It is hallelujah. It is lifting. It is exciting. It is such a joy to see everyone in heaven, the cloud of witnesses that the Bible speaks about in the book of Hebrew. My brother and sister, we have such a cloud of witnesses, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They are waiting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For the bride to arrive, for the bride to come in, my brother and sister, hallelujah, and rejoice and with everything God has for her. The Lord has surprises for his people that when they go into heaven, they are going to see and rejoice exceedingly. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so it is exciting, hallelujah, that we, hallelujah, continue to repent daily, continue to seek the Lord daily, continue to prepare, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, because thank you, Jesus. He is about to come for his bride that have made herself ready. Hallelujah. And there is a thank you, Lord, a bride that loves Jesus more than their own life and are looking forward to, thank you, Jesus, go home, my brother and sister. Thank you, Yeshua. And the Lord, who knows our heart more than anybody, even more than ourselves, know that we are looking for that day of his coming. And that day, it is so close. Thank you, Jesus. It is just so close. It is so close. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Hebrew 12:1 said, therefore, seeing that we are all compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight of the sin which that easily besee us, and run, hallelujah, with patience the race that is set before us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. So we have to run this race, my brother and sister, in such a way that we'll make it, we'll get there. And the Lord, who is faithful, because faithful is him who sat upon the throne, is the one who made us this promise. Thank you, Jesus. Let me start from the beginning. Hallelujah. Last week, or the week before last week, I've been asking the Lord to take me to heaven, and the Lord said yes to me in prayer, in the overnight prayer. And so I patiently was waiting on the Lord. I just kept praying, going into my prayer with the Lord, just waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's faithful. I know that at any moment he's going to fulfill what he's going to do. My brother insisted, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. He only asked us to seek him, to seek his face, and whoever seek him will find him. My brother insisted, thank you, Lord. And I can repent in my unbelief, my down unbelief, asking the Lord to increase my faith. Even though he's doing that, and I can see it, I'm still asking him to increase my faith. My brother and sister, we need our faith to be increased more than more. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Until yesterday morning, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He takes me, and I open my eyes, or my eye was right open. And immediately I'm standing before the place of the clouds of witness. And I say the cloud of witness in this regard because there was a brother, him and his wife, last year, I remember sharing on the Lord's Tower. He got taken to this part of heaven, and he went into the garden where the redeemed and the angel are there, all the flowers, all the adorn, everything is ready for the bride. And he asked the redeemed and said, Shalom, Brother Michael, shalom, each one of you. He says, thank you, Lord. What have you heard about the bride? And one of the redeemed said, this is what we heard. The bride is already, is ready to arrive at any moment. And we are in expectation of the bride. My brother and sister. So I was taken basically to the same place. The only thing is that this time I was not allowed to see more into the garden. And this is my belief because I seen part of heaven where there's so much reward for the bride, so much gifts the Lord has. The Lord have ordained that these gifts are next to his throne. And the bride is going to come there. First, they're going to hug their family. The family will also be waiting for them. They're going to hug their family when they arrive. They're going to be hugging one another. And the Lord, I'm sure a lot of people will be hugging the Lord too. And then we'll be taken to the place, my brother and sister, of the reward. Okay? I have not been allowed to see other people reward, not even mine. Because it's a surprise for us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And let me go into the word before I continue. Because I have much to share tonight in regard to this revelation because I was taken to a different place by the Lord, my brother and sister. And I want to share what happened to me. I experienced something this time I had not experienced before. And it was powerful and rejoicing. My brother and sister and I would like to share more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Revelation 22:17 said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let each one who hear them say the same. Come, let the thirsty come. Anyone who wants to let him come and drink of the water life without, hallelujah, change. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we're being invited. We're being invited to come, my brother and sister. Now, Psalm 45:13 said, the bride, a princess, waiteth within her chamber, robe and beautiful clothing, woven with gold. I seen this. Okay? And one, on my trip to heaven, I seen these dresses of some of the sisters who will have gold on them. They're going to go into the chamber that I say, come into thy chamber, my brother and sister. And some of the dresses they're going to wear have gold on them. And I saw one of the sisters who came out of the chamber with a beautiful dress with gold on it. That's powerful. Thank you, Lord. Rejoicing, praising the Lord for this. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Solomon, You have ravished my heart, my lovely one, my bride. I overcome by one glance of your eyes, by a single hair of your necklace. Amen. Necklace. So there will be necklace for the bride, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then Solomon, excuse me, sons of Solomon, you have ravished my heart, my lovely one, my bride. I overcome by the glaze of the eyes. No, this is not the one. 4:10. How sweet and sorry is your love, my darling bride. How much better is the myrrh of wine, perfume of your love, more fragrant than all the riches and spice. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And then for Sons of Solomon 4:12, my darling, my bride, a private garden, the spring no one else can have, a fountain of my own. See that the bride of Christ is special to Jesus, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. You praise the Lord. Shalom, Sister Luna. When you go there, I'm telling you, it is so powerful, the presence of God here, the presence of Jesus, who is waiting for the bride in that place of celebration. In that place where the bride is arriving, it's electrifying. It is so powerful. It is so much presence of God, so much anointing, a cloud of power and anointing is in that place. Like, oh my Lord, from the heaven down to the ground. I'm telling you, I see redeemed there. These redeemed sisters, they have these dresses like from the 1800 all the way down, and beautiful. Okay? They were standing there. The brothers and sisters have their hand raised, praising the Lord and attentive for the bride who is about to come in, my brother and sister. And as the Lord has said to the brother, to one of the redeemed, they've been told that the bride is about to arrive. Okay? The bride is about to arrive. No one knows the hour, only Father. But the bride is about to arrive is what they've been told by God. Okay? The one whose throne lasts forever, the one who is true and faithful, has said to them, the bride is about to arrive. Okay? He's not a man that he will lie, not the son of man he will repent. He is truthful forever and ever. And he had told them, the bride is about to arrive. Are you listening? Father has said to them, the bride is about to arrive. And these redeemed and angel are in expectation of seeing this beautiful bride who is about to arrive. The Lord wanted me to stand there and look at them and see them worshiping the Lord and see their expectation. And it is exciting. You're there. You don't want. I was 50 feet away from them, and I didn't want to move from there. But the Lord is like, no, I got things that I need to show you. He led me away from the place to another place, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And I'm like, okay. He was leading me. I was being led by the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As we should be walking down here, being led by the Lord always. And it was exciting. Thank you, Lord. I didn't know what he was leading me to, but I was just following his leading in heaven, my brother and sister. And he took me into this building. And from this place, I can see this temple on earth, this church, huge church. And this church now that I was looking into, was a Catholic church. And the one performing the service in there was a cardinal. It was not a priest. This was higher than the priest. And he's very known by people, very recognized by people. And he was performing the service. He was telling people to pray, how many Hail Mary to pray. But as they came in, they approached him, the crucifix he has, they will come forward and kiss the crucifix, my brother said, the cross, and bow down to him, and he would tell them how many Hail Mary to pray. And all this, what the Lord was letting me know is, this is a sin. This is an abomination. He was telling them to pray to Mary. And God is disgusted by this. Because no idolater, his word is clear, no idolater will enter into the kingdom of heaven. My brother and sister, no man is supposed to lead no man to idolatry. This is a sin. This is an abomination to God. And God is about to end this evil. that is on the earth, that's been on the earth for too long. But wait until I tell you what he revealed me about this, which was very surprising to me, my brother and sister. Sister Barbara gave out a word in regard to this, demon in the flesh. Remember, I've been talking about the Lord, he and the Lord child for a few weeks, few months and years ago, about demon in the flesh. And this been a difficult topic. Sometimes I don't like to talk about it unless the Lord lead me into talking about it. And a lot of time he does, my brother and sister, because it's a very sensitive topic. It can be offending to a lot of people. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe this, but I'm here to speak the Lord's word. I cannot choose what I speak here. I have to speak with, this is the Lord's hour. This is his program. Whatever he wants me to say here, I must speak. Okay? I must speak. I cannot choose what I'm supposed to speak here. And I know it'll be offending to a lot of people, but I must say what the Lord wants me to say. My brother and sister. Sister Barbara put out a word, which I want to play quickly. Thank you, Lord. In case some of you have not heard it, my brother and sister, thank you, Jesus, that I believe this revelation to Sister Barbara, or through Sister Barbara, hallelujah, a lot of people should hear and understand. Praise the Lord. She says on this word that the Lord will remove people. But then what she says after, in regard to and demon in the flesh, listen to this. I'll be back.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Tiller 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today with the prophecy I received earlier today. Today is May 20th, 2022. So join me in the King James Version of Bible. I'm going to be in, well, I need some eyes to see here. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, let's start at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. All right, that's all I'm doing. And I was hearing parts of this yesterday, so I knew I was going to get a prophecy. Now, I have another one. Actually, it came up in my memories from last year, and it's, I'm going to say kind of similar to this one. Okay, here we go. These are perilous times. Walk by faith, not by sight. Use your spiritual eyes and ears. Do not trust in deceptive words. Call on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and show you the truth. Use your discernment. Be alert to lying signs and wonders. Holy Spirit coming. The great deception and strong delusion has begun. The fallen angels walk among you looking like men, speaking like men. Look at this, Holy Spirit on me. And they are not men. Okay. Let me say that again. Looking like men, speaking like men, and they are not men. Now, I was getting things about this when I was hearing the prophecy, and the Lord was having me look at things.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There you go. There you go. Hallelujah. They are, Shalom, Brother Miguel, they are amongst us. Amongst humans, humanity, looking like men, speaking like men, okay, and they're not men. And this is what the Lord was showing me from heaven. It's specifically this, my brother and sister. He was showing me this Catholic Church on earth, and they were conducting these service. And he was telling them to pray to Mary, my brother and sister, or other idols, okay? And when he was leading these people, as people was leaving the church building after the service, He waited until nobody was in the building. I was there in spirit. He could not see me. And then he turned into a demon, a principality. From human being, from the human form that people can see and speak with him with a human, he turned into a demon where no one can see him. My brother and sister. And when whatever he meets with Satan, my brother and sister. And I was like, what? But I knew this is, I've been speaking about this for months and years, okay? And the Lord, my brother and sister, wanted to show me this, the sister Barbara is talking about that I've been speaking for years about, demon in the flesh. They're leading people to worship the devil, practically. And I knew there that this is the plan of Satan. Religion is of the devil. I knew that right there, clearly, that this religious belief, any other religion that lead people away from God, like to an idolatry, worshiping a demon, devil, human form of idol, all that is idolatry. My brother and sister, and look what the word of God says in Ephesians 5:5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, had any inheriting in the kingdom of Christ and God. And that's also Revelation 22:15 says, for outside are the dark, the sorcerer, the mugger, the murderer, the idolater, whosoever love and make it lies. Okay? They cannot be part of the Lord's kingdom. They cannot be part of God's kingdom, my brother and sister. They are outside. Outside is the darkness where the gnashing of teeth, as Jesus said. Remember that? My brother and sister, that is hell. They cannot be part of the kingdom of God. Whoever is practicing this religion, whoever is praying to Mary and worshiping this idol in the Catholic Church. And I'm sorry because I know many Catholics listen to us, including priests. My brother and sister, and they have written to me, and I have written back to them, including from Rome. Okay, in regard not to pray to Mary, my brother and sister. They said this program is very encouraging, which I thank them for that, but I tell them the truth. I'm here to serve the Lord, my brother and sister. And it's not my personal, hallelujah, opinion to offend them, but I must preach the truth here. I got to tell them the truth. Hallelujah. Salvation, there's no salvation without Christ, without Jesus. And when you serve the Lord, you serve him full-heartedly. You cannot pray to Mary and pray to St. Peter, St. John, St. Paul, and believe that you're going to go to heaven with this idolatry. It's a sin. It is an abomination to God. And so to practice such a thing will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. I got to tell you how it is. The Lord had really pounded on me a few weeks back. My brother and sister, he said, I will have to give him an account. My brother and sister, you know, it's not for me to be disrespecting priests or anyone, but this man was a cardinal, larger, hallelujah, on a higher position than a priest, and he's leading people to idolatry and sin before God. So he cannot be part of the kingdom of God, neither the people he's leading. My brother and sister, and I know I probably get email about this message tonight. They email me. They may be mad. I have had them write to me very mad, Brother Elvie, how can you speak this way? You must have more respect. And, you know, again, this is not personal. This is the word of God. This is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is what Jesus showed me in heaven. And I must speak it the way it is. My brother and sister, you must repent this idolatry of praying to Mary, praying to Hail Mary. It is a type of idolatry. My brother, praying to the same. And then having this demon in the church, my brother and sister, leading people to do this. It is of Satan. This is of the devil. This is of Satan. And God, my brother and sister, is not going to have this be any longer. Soon all these things will be destroyed, lest they repent. It is the way it is with God. Idolatry is a great sin with him. My brother and sister, Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 61 said, let me tell you how happy God made me, for he had clothed me with garment of salvation. This is from the Living Bible translation. Let me tell you how happy God has made me. For he had clothed me with garment of salvation and wrapped about me a robe of righteousness. And I'm like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, a bride with her jewels. My brother and sister, many jewels there is for the bride at the arrival when it goes into the chamber. My brother and sister, and as I'm going into this translation, clearly it mentioned this here and there in the Living Bible translation. My brother and sister, the Lord will have this for his bride. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it is exciting that this celebration the Lord has it for his people. Heaven is awaiting the bride. They are in expectation of the bride of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I come against any spirit from north to south, east to west, coming against the program in the air. Lord, cover every single life listening with the blood of Jesus. We bind all demon or principality, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Go. Lord, cover every life with your blood and your holy fire in Jesus' name. Let your word proceed, Lord, forward with anointing, Lord, and confirmation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Mighty Lord, speak to your people, Lord. Open the eye of the time, Lord, the time and the hour we're in, Lord, for your coming, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I was so excited to be walking in heaven, being led by the Lord here and seeing the houses, the building. Once I was there, I knew again that I was home. My heart was jumping, like jumping in me. And I was so excited of seeing this revelation there. It is all revealed to you. Your understanding, your knowledge comes fully 100%. And you see everything, you remember everything right away. And being there, immediately the sense is, I don't want to leave this place. You're so happy. You're so full of joy. You're so full of peace. You're so full of the presence of God in heaven. You do not want to leave. You just want to stay there in his presence forever. My brother insisted. But the Lord takes me on this mission, if I choose to accept, my brother insisted, to come and reveal this to you. And I choose to accept the mission, my brother insisted. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. It is his mission. It is his plan. It is what he wants. Isaiah 62:4, never again shall you be called the God forsaken land of the land that the God for God. For your new name will be the land of God's delight. And the bride, for the Lord delight in you, and he will proclaim you as his own. Okay, you are as Jesus. You are as the Lord, and he is in heaven. Hallelujah. Of course, he is with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord is waiting for his bride in heaven. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's also an expectation of you. Because he doesn't know that they're in the hour of only Father. So he's there, and the redeemer and the angel are worshiping him full of joy in his presence. But the Lord is there. They're all there waiting for us. They're waiting for us. I remember hearing the Lord before Father's throne one time, Father, when? Father, how soon? He wants us to come in already. Thank you, Jesus. He knows how hard it is. He has said to people he brought to heaven, oh, I know my children's pain. The headaches and the things they're going through right now. Because what you and I feel, he feels. Because we are one in spirit. Your pain, your headaches, hallelujah, your migraine, he can feel them. Not the migraine, but he can feel your frustration. How difficult it is for you. Because there's no migraine in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I left that building after I seen that evil. The Lord let me out of that building. I was glad. Praise you, Jesus. Now he takes me another part of heaven. I'm looking. Thank you, Lord. Somehow it looks familiar to me. But somehow as I kept walking, it was not. Thank you, Jesus. As I'm moving forward, right before me, there was an entrance of a gate to like a backyard. And the gate looked familiar to me. The wall looked familiar on that gate, that entrance. But I was being led by the Lord as I began to enter the place. I look forward and I see my father, my early father. My father was taken home in 1979. I haven't seen my father for over 40 years. So I saw not long ago, a few years ago, maybe 12, 14 years ago, and the Lord took me to see him and I hugged him. But I'm talking about in the physical. I haven't seen my father for over 40 years. There he was, handsome, in his 20. My father looks so young, younger than me. I look at my father, Dad, Daddy, Papi, I said in Spanish, Dad. And he looked at me and smiled. Hallelujah. He was so joyful to see me. He gave me a quick hug. He moved forward. He led me where I was standing, and he moved forward because the Lord has sent him with much information for me. He had much to say to me. As I saw him, I cannot stop looking at him and his body, how young he looks and handsome. Thank you, Lord. He has a beautiful smile. His teeth. Wait until you meet him. He welcomes people when they come to heaven. That's his job in heaven. Well, that's part of his job. Now, part of his job was a messenger to me. Thank you, Lord. Felt so exciting to see him again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I believe I asked of the Lord this a week ago. Lord, if possible, that in this trip I could see my father. And the Lord surprised me. He loves to surprise us. He loves to surprise his children. He loves to surprise his bride. Wait until you see the surprise he has for you. You're not expecting what he has for you. It will be like, what? Is that for me, Lord? I didn't know this, Lord. He'll look at you and smile. Yes, my child is for you. Thank you, Jesus. It gives him joy when you seek him. It gives him joy when you suffer for him. Hallelujah. His heart melts for you. When you love him, he loves you even more. Thank you, Lord. We can never love God the way God loves us. It is impossible. My brother and sister, in all eternity, billions and trillions of years with God, we can never love him the way he loves us. It is impossible. The great agape love of Father, my brother and sister, it is impossible for us to love this way, but we will be able to love with his love. His love covers you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. God loves and gorges you, and you never want to come out of his love. When he took me to the new earth and the future the other day, a few months ago, I was in Father God's love. I believe I was in his heart. I think I'm always in his heart. I think you are always in his heart. But I felt so loved by him, so peaceful in him. My brother and sister, it's like being in the middle of a hurricane in all destroying force that no house can stand, but being in the middle in the eye of his love and peace. It's peaceful with him. My brother and sister, he's all love. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, praise you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We can all come to him and cry out with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, college, high school, university, because all that is false teaching also. Your college understanding and university understanding is false teaching. Your government understanding is false teaching. It hinders your walk with the Lord. A lot of believers, when they have worked for the government or have gone to college and become a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, an engineer, when they receive Jesus, they get a headache when they come to him. There's like a permanent headache on them. And they feel this hindering things in their mind. That is called the knowledge of this earth, fallen one. It comes from demonic enticement, the knowledge of this earth. It's in the book of James. It hinders people. We have to repent. If you have learned anything from this earth, you're going to have to repent that knowledge. And ask the Lord. The Apostle Paul say he took everything he knew, all the knowledge he had, as vanity, of nothing, is the word he uses. My brother and sister, the Apostle Paul was a well-studied, a man with a PhD in knowledge of the law. My brother and sister, he was well-respected in his days. So the Apostle Paul had a lot of human knowledge. And when you get degreed, master degree, PhD, you this knowledge in the Lord, earthly knowledge, is the devil, because it's demonic. It is a highway for demons to attack your mind and life. You have to repent and close those doors. My brother and sister, pray this. Read this from the Word of God. He took it for nothing so he can receive the knowledge of Christ, Paul says. My brother and sister, and allow the knowledge of Christ with him as he was seeking him and studying the word of the Lord. Now with the Holy Spirit, the knowledge of Christ will be an increase, incremented in his life, filling his mind, his heart, his life. And that's why Paul was all about Christ, all about Christ and his work for him. Thank you, Jesus. He was filled with Christ, with the knowledge of Jesus, with the knowledge of God only. In the other knowledge he had, to him it was as garbage. My brother and sister, he understood that the devil, whatever you have from the devil can use against you. And the knowledge of the third hinder many people. It hindered them in their belief, in having faith, and in their faith being increased. It hindered them for their faith to be increased in God, and they're full of doubt and unbelief. My brother and sister, full of doubt and unbelief. That's why lawyers and doctors and a lot of these people have a lot of problem receiving Christ or growing in the faith in Christ because of what they have learned. My brother and sister, this is very important. Pray, please take this in prayer with the Lord. My Father now, he's standing before me. You can see Young smiling. He was under a cherry tree. But this cherry is not like the cherry you buy here in the supermarket. This cherry, we had them back on the island. I said we had them. I don't know if we have them anymore. I've been away from the island for 37 years. And I remember this cherry back on the island. They were red and pink, like the true color ones. Here in heaven now, I'm looking at this cherry, looking the same. A cherry tree. My Father's standing under the cherry tree. I can see the branches full of cherry, beautiful cherry. I used to want to go to my Father and grab a handful of cherry and begin to eat them. But I knew that my Father began to speak to me what the Lord wanted him to speak to me. But I was looking at hearing what my Father was saying, but looking at a cherry tree. And I'm like, oh, I just want to eat them. I just want to eat them. They look delicious. They look so delicious. I just wanted to eat them. But I understood now that I must wait on the Lord, my brother and sister, and that the message of the Lord was more important than the cherry, although they look so delicious. But I said, okay, I'll wait. And my Father began to speak to me. And he says, my son, remember these years ago, I remember, I was single back then. The Lord sent this sister to you. And he mentioned her name. And I said, yes, yes, I remember her. She's a prophet. And my Father said, the Lord sent people to you like her to speak to you from the Lord. People that have been chosen by the Lord before the foundation of your earth. Like, oh. They've been chosen before, he says. So, oh, wow, okay. Thank you, Lord. It was exciting to hear that. And remember how the word she gave you encouraged you. And I said, yes. Hallelujah, Sister Marina. I said, I remember her, yes. Okay, who is a sister from Guatemala, up north Massachusetts, yes. And then he began to talk to me about other people, brothers and sisters, that the Lord had brought into my life to encourage me and for me to encourage them. And he says, you encourage one another. He began to talk to me about names of people, brothers and sisters, whom the Lord has chosen them since before this world was, my brother and sister, for us to meet. And said the word God gives to them, to you, it was to encourage one another. The unity of the saint, in other words, God, every time we need a someone or a word from God, through someone, he sends someone into our lives. And they'll give us a word, my brother and sister, to encourage us. I remember I was single. I was going through a lot. I felt like people in the church was not understanding what I was going through. My brother and sister, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I didn't know if I wanted to leave the church and just move somewhere else. But I was praying. And the Lord gave Sister Miranda a word. I remember, she said, it was early in the morning. The Lord came to her and spoke to her to give me this word. And the word was to continue to persevere. Continue to endure. God said that you will encounter many things, but God says, I will be with you, my son. And I will raise you up and use you in the ministry, God says. It's going to be a powerful ministry, God says. Thank you, Lord. But there will be a people God will bring into your ministry that God, hallelujah, will raise them up through your ministry. Praise the Lord. And the word she gave me was right on it. Praise you, Lord, years ago. Thank you, Lord. Continue. Don't let those that are coming against you to discourage you, hallelujah, to stop you from seeking the Lord. Continue to fast and pray and seek the Lord. Continue to spend time on the word. God wants you to continue to do that. My brother and sister, I was single, and the time I was not doing ministry, I would come home and read my Bible and spend an hour reading the Bible. Thank you, Lord. And I have so much fun in the Word with the Lord, my brother and sister. And so much he's shown me. I don't think most of the things he has shown me, I have preached here on the Lord's Hour. So much he's shown me through his Word. My brother and sister, his Word is alive. There's so much knowledge and wisdom in his Word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's why when we stand with the Lord one-on-one, and we're talking with the Lord, and he talks back to us, through his word also, okay? A lot of people are looking for an audible voice. God can speak to you through his word. Yes, he can speak to you through an audible voice. My brother and sister, he can speak to you clear through his word. Listen to him. When you read the Bible, say, Lord, before you open your Bible, Lord, I'm going to open your word. Speak to me through it, Lord. Speak to me, Jesus. He will speak to you through that word. Hallelujah. Whatever word you need, he will minister to you. And he will heal your broken heart. Your broken heart. Whatever thing in your heart that needs to be healed, he will heal it through the word. Ask him. Ask him. Build on your relationship, on your personal relationship with Jesus. He's there for you. I remember one time the Lord says to me, I was going through a lot. And the Lord, I was going through this testing that I did not understand. I began to have a conversation with the Lord, which I was so excited, I remember. And I said, I was talking to the Lord about these tests. And the Lord said, yes, my son, I give you these tests. They are ordained to you by my Father. And I'm the one that brings them to you, to my people, my children. And I didn't know this. And I said, Lord, these tests are so hard. And the Lord says, because you don't ask me for my help. Huh? You don't ask me for my help. You, my children, when I give you these tests, you complain and murmur. And you don't want to go through it anymore. And most of the time, I have to take it away from you. And you don't pass these tests. If you pass these tests, you'll move on to the next level and it'll be a blessing to you. How are you going to know what's in the next level unless you pass the test? You, my children, complain and murmur. And I felt so bad when he said, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, have I not passed the test? He says to me, when you don't pass your test, I repeat them to you over in your life. And I repeat them again. And this time when I had to hold the test back, because you're murmuring and complaining, but you're not passing the test. I have to hold it back because you're telling me you can no more. You cannot take it anymore. It's all. I felt so bad. Wow, I didn't know this. So I said, Lord, can you help me pass these tests? He said, yes, I can. He said it with a joy. He was glad I understood what he was telling me. Lord, help me pass these tests, Lord. I want to pass these tests. I said, my son, he says to me, some of the tests are going to be hard for you. Very hard. You're going to have to stay home with me and seek me and call unto me and ask me for help. And I will help you. And I say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I remember that there were tests coming into my life, difficult tests. My brother and sister, I had tests where I didn't have money for the rent. How many of you look like those tests? When the end of the month comes and you have no money for the rent. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Praise you, Lord. Oh, the test when the week comes, the weekend comes, and you have no money for shopping, and your fridge is empty. Some people get so mad and they punch the desk and like, how can this be alive? I'm living like an animal here. Thank you, Lord. But if you only knew that it's just a simple test, the devil can amplify the test in our lives. He can make us see how hard it is. My brother and sister, we forget that faithful is the one that called us and that he will provide. This is before I was in the air in the Lord's hour. My brother and sister, before. Thank you, Jesus. But the Lord is faithful. And I trusted the Lord through it. And I began to ask the Lord to help me. Lord, this is difficult. Help me. Help me. I don't want to give up, Lord. Because the Lord says to me that we give up many times. We give up. And he has to remove the test. Praise you, Lord. You like it when you get a check every week and you're able to pay your bills. And it's not that God doesn't want you to be responsible. It's that if you lose your job, you got to trust the Lord to provide you with another. And you don't murmur, you don't complain, you don't get mad, you don't say, what is this? I'm a Christian. How come I don't have a job anymore? How come I lost my job? And they get so mad and I don't know. You know, I'm supporting God's work and I lost my job. What is this? No. No. In the worst moment, what is this? I'm a Christian and I'm sick. What is this? What type of Christian am I? And they're beating up on themselves. The Lord wants you to trust him through it and ask him to heal you and ask him to provide you is what he's asking you. Not for you to sit there and blame God and say, or blame yourself and say, what type of Christian am I? I ain't just, I have no faith. And you begin to beat up on yourself. That's not what he wants. That's what he wants. Because everything in his timing is perfect. He's not going to fail you. There has never been anyone who trusted in the Lord who then put to shame. Never. And you're not going to be the first. Remember, you're going to see him face to face one day. If he fails you down here, you're going to go to heaven and walk to his throne and say, you failed me on earth. That's impossible. No one has ever done that. And God's not going to take you your freedom for you to go and talk to him and tell him how you feel. He's not going to take that from you. You're going to be able to go to him. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. If you trust him through your trial and tribulation and you pray and you do as an example what Jesus did with the cross on his back, he opened not his mouth. You know what happened if you're going through something like Jesus and you open your mouth, you sin. You're going to sin. Because cry can set in there, and you can say, who do these people think it is? I'm going to let them have it, and you're going to punch one of them. You see, you're going to sin. You are going to sin. You are going to keep, you're going to have to keep your eyes on him and close your mouth and walk. Don't say anything. If you can worship him, worship him. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. The children of Israel, you know what they did in walking in the wilderness? They murmur. What is this? An Egypt, all the things we have. And look, he has brought us into the wilderness to perish. Huh? If they would have kept their mouth quiet, they would have not sinned. They offended God. He was so offended by the murmuring. My brother insisted. All God was asking him, keep quiet. Stay quiet through it. I will provide. Did God did not provide to them? Did anyone that got them got hyperthermia or heart attack or stroke or any of those things that are heart attack like people having today? None. 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 The Bible said that he sent his word and healed him all. Wait a minute. That means they were sick. But it was temporary. Boom. Shalom, sister. He healed them all. For 40 years, he kept them healed. That means they got sick. And Moses prayed, and they pray. And, you know, God heard their prayer because he healed them. And God hears our prayer. And God will heal you too. You know, if God will tell you the day he's going to heal you, you'll be jumping in your couch up and down. Oh, thank you. Okay, I'm going to wait for that day. You won't even pray. You won't even fast. You won't do those things because you already know when he's going to heal you. Oh, you know, I'm going to heal you, my daughter, September 7th of 2022. Oh, thank you, thank you. You won't even fast. You won't pray. You won't trust him. You won't grow in your faith. So God does it the other way, the right way. He doesn't tell you when he's going to heal you. So you will fast. You will pray. You will believe him. You will trust him. And you will seek him. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. His way is perfect. It is the right way. He won't tell us when. No, because he wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to seek him, trust him through the words. The Shemitah began in 2022. How many years prior to the Shemitah, I told you the Shemitah was beginning? My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, sister, for your prayer. Hallelujah. I feel a lot better. Thank you, Lord. I told you he was going to heal me. I'm still waiting for the perfect healing. He brings it. Thank you, Lord. When I was worse, I told you he was going to heal me. I believe him, but I have to wait. You have to go through the pain. You have to trust him. It's the way it is. He done it with all. The prophet, the apostle, they all went through the same. They got sick. And they pray and pray and pray until they got healed. This is the way it is. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, that's how faith grows. You don't know when, but you continue to ask, you continue to endure, you continue to persevere, and you grow in him. Your faith grows and gets stronger. And then the next time you get sick, Lord, you healed me last time. I know you can do it again. I'm trusting you, Lord. I continue to pray. I continue to fast. I continue to seek you and wait on you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember all the believers telling me, Brother Owe, thank God for the healing. You already have it. It's been done 2,000 years ago. Your healing was done 2,000 years ago. Brother Owe, receive it. And I'm looking at him, huh? Brother Brother Ovi, receive it. Your healing was done 2,000 years ago. It just needs to come to pass in your life at any moment. Whoa. Thank you. Just receive it. Lord, thank you for what you've done on the cross on me 2,000 years ago. By your stripe, by your wound, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It's just another opportunity for us to pray. He gives us. Every problem in this life is God giving us another opportunity to pray. This is how we see it. This is another headache. This is another problem now that I'm going to have to deal with. No, it's another opportunity. He's giving you. Hallelujah. The more he gives you is the more you need. Hallelujah. You don't go to a rich person who has a mansion to give him a house. Imagine that. You go knocking on the door and a rich person who has a great mansion with many cars, many things, to give him a house. He'll say, what are you giving me a house for? Look, do you see my mansion? No. You give it to someone who needs it. God has given us what we need. The only thing is we don't like it the way it comes many times. My brother and sister, but if you can receive what he has for you and ask him to help you through the test and trial, you can overcome them and pass the trials and tests. Oh, my Lord. When he helped me pass some of my trials and tests, when I got to the other side, what a difference it was. I couldn't believe it. No one told me this in church. I had to learn this from Jesus. So many years in church, no one sat with me and explained this stuff to me. Until I had a conversation with Jesus, one-on-one, he explained it to me. Just ask me to help you, my son. Ask me to help you pass the test, the trial. I'll help you. I'll make it easier for you. Okay, Lord. So when I had a difficult trial that I was struggling so much, Lord, please help me. Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I still do. Cry like a baby. And he helps me. And the whole is to make it through. To bring you through. My brother and sister, ask him. Praise you, Lord. So my father, he looks 20, 25 the most. He died when he was 43. He's in front of me in heaven. I'm looking at my father. He looks so handsome and young, full of life, and his glorified body. I'm 50, and my father's like 20, 25. And he had this beautiful smile on him, looking at me straight with the glowing eyes. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at a young, handsome man, my father, in heaven. How is this? Thank you, Lord. And he's smiling, beautiful smile. He began to speak to me from the Lord. I was quiet to listen to him. And he's telling me about all these things that God had planned for my life since I was young. My brother and sister, and he provided in my work with him. He provided these different people to help me and encourage me and use me to encourage them. So exciting. Thank you, Lord. Then, praise you, Jesus. As he finished, I said, Dad, can I have a sherry? Can I have some sherry? And he says, no, you can only have one. And I'm like, what do you mean I can only have one? And then he points to God. He says, he's the one that only will allow you to have one. You know, and for a minute I'm thinking, man, on earth I can grab a bunch of sherry and if I want to put it in my mouth and they only having me eat one. But okay, praise you, Lord. I ate mango before in heaven. They're only giving me one sherry this time. Okay. And I grab one sherry. I put it in my mouth. And when I took a bite of the cherry, the power, the anointing of God, it was so powerful that I was paralyzed in the mighty presence, that this little cherry was like a nuclear weapon in my mouth. It was so full of power of God and anointing. My brother insisted that all I can do was like looking up with my eye closed, my head up, and worship God in such a power and anointing that I could not even move, my brother insisted. Of this little cherry, my full of the power of God, I just wanted to run all over heaven and fly and run to and fro, because the energy, the empowerment is given me. It was unheard and was told. My father should have given me at least a warning. You know, he's telling me I can only have one because God told him only he can only have one, but he should have given me a little bit more information. Wait until I see my father. Dad, what do you do? The thing was like a nuclear weapon to me. Praise you, Lord. My brothers and sisters, I didn't know that in heaven some fruit can produce such a power in you that you think it's going to explode and you're going to be all over the heaven in pieces, my brother and sister. My Lord, my God, have mercy on me. Praise you, Lord. Then I understood right there why I can only have one. If I have more than one, forget about it, my brother and sister. It would have been the end of my body down here on earth. It was such an explosion, such a power of God. It was like the Almighty came through that cherry into my life. It was, my Lord, my God. I'll invite some of my brothers and sisters coming in cherry when we get to heaven. We're going to remember this. My Lord, my God. Such a power in the cherry, my brother and sister. And the tree is full of it. And I remember a testimony of this brother in line. Then he said he ate a fruit in heaven that gave him, he said he was tired first. I forget his name. Maybe some of you will remember him. And he said he was tired walking with an angel. And an angel gave him a fruit. And he took a bite of this fruit. He said he has so much energy. He just wanted to run. My brother and sister, fruit in heaven or something like this fruit are full of the power of God. Like you cannot even imagine. And when you eat them, my Lord, you have so much energy. And the power just bursts out of you like a nuclear weapon. My Lord, my God, the things that we need and we're missing on this earth that God has in store for them that love him, they are in heaven for us. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. In heaven is waiting for the bride. They've been told they're about to arrive. They're about to come in. The bride is about to come in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. My brother and sister, the bride is about to come in. My brothers, that's why I believe the 3 days of darkness are closed. The Lord is so awesome. This past week, he gave my son Joshua a dream. Remember, we were talking here in the Lord Jawa about the red cloud. My brother and sister, the red cloud that there will be before the 3 days of darkness. Well, I was praying about this for this as a sign, and I have said, well, I don't know, I'm not sure. The Lord has not confirmed it to me. The Lord showed it to my son Joshua. In his dream, he was in school, but he was a red cloud, and he called me from school and said, Dad, the 3 days of darkness is beginning. Look, there's a red cloud, he says. So we were all getting ready, running, doing things before it came. But he says you can see all over heaven the red cloud, my brother and sister, before the 3 days of darkness begin. That is a mighty confirmation for us. This is what we needed to hear. He says to me, the Lord confirmed it to me first and you, Dad. I said, okay. The important part is that he has confirmed it. And that's what we need. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. It's so exciting. So exciting. Hallelujah. Because as soon as the bride is changed and transformed, my brother and sister, it's out of here. Isaiah 62:5, your children will care for you. Oh, Jerusalem, where you're like a young man who marries a virgin, God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom with his bride. Thank you, Lord. as a bridegroom with his bride. God rejoices in us. Hallelujah. He's rejoicing. And that's what I was watching, the rejoicing of the Lord. Jesse the Plantis, I believe is his name. The rejoicing of the Lord for his bride, my brother and sister, that she's about to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Jeremiah 2:32, how can disown your God like that? Can a girl forget her jewel? What bride will seek to hide her wedding dress? Yet for years and my people have forgotten me, the most precious of the treasure. So there are people who have forgotten about God, backsliding. My brother and sister. Yes, someone was talking about this. It's a red cloud in China. I don't know if that one applied because the one that looked in front of my son is here that we saw, not in China, my brother and sister. So that's, I believe that's different. Jeremiah 7:34, I will add happy singing, laughter, joyful voice of the bridegroom and bride in the street of Jerusalem and the city of Judah, for the land shall lie in desolation. That's coming. Jeremiah 69. For the Almighty God of Israel say, I own your lifetime before your very eye. I will end all the laughter of the land, happy son, marriage for your son and bridegroom and the bride. So these are the backsliding people who turn against God. God has turned against them. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah 33:10 and 11, the Lord declared the happy voice of the bridegroom and the bride, joyful son of those bringing thanksgiving and offering to the Lord. They will hear again, and the doom of the land will sing, praise the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endure forever. For I will make the land happier and more prosperous as it have been before. This is the plan of the Lord. Of course, he's coming back with his bride. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is coming back with his bride. My brother and sister, when all the wedding is over, Jesus come back. He's coming with a lot of us. We're going to be working with the Lord in the millennium for sure. So he has planned for us, my brother and sister. But surely no idolater will enter his kingdom. The dog, the Bible says, will be outside. The idolater will be outside. That's not what the Lord wants of people. He wants people to repent. That's why, and my brother and sister, I have to speak clear tonight in regard to idolatry in the Catholic Church and any religion, because it could be idolatry in the Christian Church also. It has to be repented and forgotten and left behind and turned to the Lord with all your heart, my brother and sister. Very important. Idolatry can be anywhere. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Joshua 2:16, bring everyone and the elder and the children and the baby can call the bridegroom for his quarters and the bridegroom for the bride for his privacy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is coming, my brother and sister, and he wants us to be ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He wants us to be seeking him more than anything. John 2:9, when the master of the ceremony takes the water, hallelujah, and it was now wine. Knowing this, I had come from the of a course of the servant that he called the bridegroom over. And the crowd naturally go to the main attraction to bring the bride will go over where the bridegroom is, and the bridegroom friend rejoice with him, and the bridegroom friends and filled with joy and at his success. And John 3:29, Jesus rejoices. Because he was rejoicing with the redeemed. They are worshiping him. The Lord said yes. So I knew he was like full of joy for his bride that is about to come in. My brother and sister, as you look for him and seeing him and meeting him, he looked for you also. He looked forward to seeing you. He wants to see you. He wants you to come in. My brother, I thought I was sad the other day when the Lord showed me there are a few that are so close to come in, were giving up. Don't give up. No matter what you see happening, no matter you see the economy fall. Remember what I told you a year or two ago here in the Lord Tower? The economy, Jesus said, is going to fall. You're already seeing clear sign of that. You're seeing clear sign. Don't wait until you see the total sign, because then you'll be heartbroken without repenting and committing your life to the Lord. I told you that this economy is going to fall. And there's nothing our government and them can do. Eventually, it's just going to fall completely. And there will be a lot of pointing finger to one another. Oh, he did this. No, he did that. No, he did. And there'll be a mess. And another revolution coming to the U.S., my brother and sister. I don't know if before Russia attacked this nation that the revolution will come. It might be before. I know that they won't be ready for what is coming. That I can tell you. I also tell you that President Putin is going to win this war in Ukraine. My brother and sister. And he's going to take it further to Europe and United States. My brother and sister. I also told you he will use weapons unknown to men. He released a flare the other day. And I'm going to tell you the testimony of a soldier that was taken out of a steel plant. He says that the flare turns steel and fire. And he said that the flare penetrated his flesh and bones. And the reporter asked him, what kind of weapon was it? He said, we don't know. We don't know what kind of weapon Russia used when they throw that flare. It's on video. You can look it online, YouTube. It penetrated the flesh and the bones, and it turned steel on fire. Until now, they are analyzing and studying what kind of weapon it was. It is unknown to the community, international community. They don't know what kind of weapon Russia used yet. They're studying it yet. I told you this will be. Russia has weapons that the United States and Europe don't know them at all. They don't know them at all. They haven't used out of the almost endless weapon they have. They haven't used them yet. They only use one that surprised the international community. Generals, military experts are studying this to figure out what it was. They don't know yet. They don't know. It turns steel and fire. My brother and sister. And the other thing, what ship that threw the flare? Because as they started, they didn't see no ship. I told you Russia has weapons, planes, undetectable by U.S. radar or European radar. I see one of them come on the Pentagon, laying on top of it, recording all day long information and flying away, and they cannot even tell was there a Russian ship. They fly all over the U.S. and Europe all the time, undetected by the U.S. radar. My brother and sister. I told you they have this weapon, and there are more that the Lord showed me, unknown by U.S. and Europe, undetected by them, that they're going to use and easily bring down these nations. I told you, Russia, however, the Lord also confirmed to me this week that the Eastern tsunami will be a Russian weapon. They're going to launch when these people, unknown, undetected, and cause a tsunami. I was shocked when he confirmed that to me. Whoa. There are much they will do that they have done for years, undetected and unknown by these nations. My brother and sister, they have over 40 years to develop these weapons. My brother and sister, and the international community had no idea how they work. None. I told you this will be this way. Wait until this continue to unfold. And they use other weapons that the nation had no idea how they done these things. You'll be shocked. My brother and sister, some of the tanks that the Ukrainian encounter of the Russian that they blew up, they went to look into those tanks, and a lot of them had dummy in it, and they were being controlled, remote control, when they were being told Russian soldiers were being killed. And now those soldiers that supposedly they killed surprised them at the plan. They're like, I told you this will happen. It's not that none of the Russians have died. Yes, some of them have died, but not as they've been told in international news. My brother and sister, a lot of them were hiding, were full waiting for the right moment. There's a lot I can show you in the Bible that is coming from the Chaldeans. I read to you some a few weeks ago. I noticed a lot of people did not agree with it, but I still share what the Lord was showing me through the Word. I will share more on Tuesday. I will go. I will ask the Lord to show me more. The Chaldeans have weapon. No one knows. Russians. And it's going to be ugly. This will go to a level that will get everyone on their knees crying to God here. That's what it is. It's going to get everyone crying on their knees here. When they see their beloved city destroyed, my brother, their beloved nation destroyed, they're going to be crying. When the Lord showed me an outcry here 14 years ago in the U.S., I didn't understand what I almost saw. Every single American underneath on the street, raising their hand, crying to God, with tears coming down the shin, crying for mercy. It's going to come. It's going to come. NATO are wasting their time and money. Russia can take them out any day, and they don't know what hit them. My brother and sister, they can launch anything they want against Russia. Russia will blow it up in the sea, and that will be the end of that. They have planes that they can go in and out and land it on the presidential palace on top and stay there all day long recording the conversation, and they don't even know they're doing that. When the Lord showed me that, I was like, what? Right on top of the Pentagon, all day long recording a Russian ship. Undetectable, unseen. They have this technology. They've been using it for years, coming in and out. Marvel insistent. The other day, I heard on the news a soldier by the sea was able to see a ship that they call alien, but that's not alien. That's a Russian ship I told you about, flying off the U.S. and all the Congress and all of them. Oh, alien ship. Aliens in our, amongst us. They don't know what it is. The Russians are laughing at this because they're doing it and they're calling it aliens. They're laughing. They're just laughing at this. Look how silly the people are. They don't even know it's us doing it. It's just so sad. But it has to be this way because God is punishing a wicked nation who had turned against him, who he had protected for hundreds of years. God has protected this nation from the beginning. He raised this nation. He blessed this nation. It's been him. And they have turned their back on him and began to kill his babies. Oh, they're not going to get away with this unless they repent. Truly. He's mad. And that's why he allowed the Russians to make the technology they have, that they can make fun of this nation and every other nation. My brother and sister, when Jeremiah told the king Hezekiah that the Chaldean was coming, the king Nebuchadnezzar would take over Jerusalem and destroy the temple. Oh, he got so angry, he threw Jeremiah in prison. He was angry. How can you say such a thing? As you are with the Chaldean also? It is simple how it sounds, like we are against the nation. No, we are bringing the alert, the message of, you don't understand what this is. God has risen King Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans and given them that power to do the things they're going to do. And there's nothing the nation can do. They have to repent to God, and then the nation can be saved. Jeremiah told them that if they didn't repent, the nation will be destroyed. God could have preserved the nation in the temple. King Nebuchadnezzar came, killed most of the people, took captive the best men he wanted, and took all the gold and silver out of the temple. Jerusalem was desolated. That beautiful, large army destroyed like nothing. They didn't know what hit them. They didn't know that Chaldean had such a power to come against them because they were so powerful and feared by all the nation when God was with them in obedience. But when the Chaldeans came, they surround Jerusalem. They encamped, the Bible said, around Jerusalem. And still, the Jewish army inside, seeing them encamping, was thinking that they were creating a threat to them or a mockery, not thinking that God already said to Jeremiah, and called King Nebuchadnezzar my servant. God is calling President Putin, my servant right now. And a lot of Christians don't even know. A lot of people don't even know. This nation don't even know that he will fight with him and bring the other nations down. And that he's been sending his plane already into this nation and those other nations. And they're flying among us and you don't even see them. Our nation don't even, our radar cannot detect them. They have no idea they're coming in and out every day and recording everything people say. Even what I say, they record. May they repent and seek the Lord. But once they finish the nation and the European and they turn against Israel, that's their end. The end is coming. Don't worry. Their end is coming. But first, this nation and European nation needs to be punished. God, his rod, his sword is against this nation. And it's about to fall, my brother and sister. And I hope God keep raising more people to tell this nation to repent, like Sister Celestial, Sister Barbara, and other people, before it's too late. Because the more people we have repent and seek the Lord, the more life can be spared. Because even if they come here, while we're here, which is not going to happen, we'll be out of here. Before they come, the Lord already showed me this, before the Russian come and take over this nation, the church will be out. This is non-business of the church anymore. We are only prophesying what the Lord is saying to the people, for this nation to repent, or for life. I heard a man of God say yesterday, God has already abandoned America, and America doesn't know. But God has not abandoned in America individual family who are repenting and seeking the Lord. Them, God is with them, but God is not no more with the nation. He has removed his protection from America. America is not protected by God anymore. Only family and individual, my brother and sister. But they don't know yet. But they're figuring it out as the economy keeps falling. And millions and billions and trillions are disappearing with the wind. Where are they gone? Where is our gold gone and our silver? Where is it? They're scratching their head and trying to figure out where have all the money. Hallelujah, it's gone. But God, little children, his bride is protected. Those that are repenting, he is protecting. He has angels accompanying around us to keep us and protect us by his orders from heaven. Father God showed me a few months ago, I saw Father God army around him. He had them ready to send us in our behalf. My brothers, he knows what he ordered through President Putin was going to happen. It's unavoidable now. That is going to happen. Millions and billions are going to die. The Lord is saving. Father is bringing to his own people still. That's why the trumpet, I believe, had not happened. Many lives are being saved, brought to the Lord, but it's over. Father said it's over. The Lord said it's over. Father said it's over. The Lord said it's over. I said amen to it. Any day now. Any day. I knew when I was standing there yesterday morning. And that expectation of people, group of people full of expectation for the bride to come in. God has told them the bride is about to come in. And they're looking to the cloud in that glory, waiting for her. They want to see her. Because the Lord has said it's a glorious bride. They haven't seen this bride so beautiful. And they came, they're waiting to see her. And see what the Lord and the Holy Spirit have done with her. See how beautiful the Holy Spirit has made her, because she walks with the Holy Spirit. She walks under the presence of Jesus, who is like soap, cleansing soap, who is like fire, cleanses with fire, who cleanses also her with his blood when she repents. And every day he cleanses her with his blood, he cleanses her with her fire, he cleanses her like soap. It makes her more beautiful every day. And her dress and garment are unseen. It is unheard how she looks. The Lord keeps her hidden, keep her hidden in him. Heaven has not seen her and how glorious she looks until she enters heaven with Jesus. She will enter with him. And when they see her, they will praise the Lord for his work. Hallelujah, for his mighty work in her. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, because he is faithful to her and she is faithful to him. My brother and sister, she's about to come in. And everyone wants to see her. Everyone wants to see the work of Jesus and her. And her dress, oh, her dress. My brother and sister. The Lord took me in one time, not long ago, to see her. I saw her. I saw her dress. Oh, my Lord, she's beautiful. My brother and sister. And his eye was on her. He will not blink for a second like we do because he loves us so much. He's in love with her. His heart is for her. And her eyes is for him. She looks at him in love with him. I thank you, Jesus. This mystery, he showed me what he see, what he love. Eye to eye looking at each other all the time, standing there. My Lord, my God. Thank you, Jesus. The bridegroom is coming. He's coming for us, brothers and sisters. The midnight hour is here. He said he will come in the midnight hour. It's here. This is the midnight hour. When things will become to be worse, it's now. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Let us be glad and rejoice and honor him. For the time has come for the wedding banquet of the Lamb, and the bride has prepared herself. Thank you, Jesus. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. It was glorious sight, beautiful as a bride at her wedding. And then the seven angels who had entered the flock containing seven plagues came and said, come with me, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let each one who hear them say, come. Let the thirsty come, and anyone who wants to, let him come and drink of the water without charge. Hallelujah. Freely, without charge. God wants to bring everyone into his son, Jesus. My brother and sister. Our brother was talking about the Jubilee. And that's what I saw. Jubilee celebration in heaven. When I heard him saying Jubilee. You know that in 2022 there's a Jubilee. That the next Jubilee will be in 50 years. There's only one this year. That the Jewish people hope something is going to happen, my brother and sister. Now, there's several rabbis that for 5 years have been studying the 2022 Shemitah to 2029, the seven-year Shemitah. They believe this is one of the worst Shemitah in our history, just because we had one of the last Shemitah that was this Shemitah, like this Shemitah, was in 1968. I'm going to play you an audio later of a brother who Jesus gave him, spoke to him about this Shemitah. of 2022. And Jesus said to him that this Shemitah of 2022 will be a crisis. My brother and sister, this Shemitah, seven-year famine, the Lord said to him that it will be a crisis. And it will be like the one in 1968. My brother and sister, in other year before, I believe it was 21 and then 36, that there was the worst in the U.S. My brother and sister, rabbis are concerned for this Shemitah, for what they see in the Bible in regard to this. It's compared to the famine of Egypt. My brother and sister, this famine that happened in Egypt in the time of Joseph, my brother and sister, this famine of the, what the King James calls it, the skinny cow, the cow were not so skinny. They were sick cow, sick meat. There are some Shemitah in history, Shemitah, where meat, cow, chickens, beef, chicken, pork, they become sick. They find viruses in them, and they become sick. My brother and sister, egg becomes sick, chickens, beef, and many other things. My brother and sister, viruses comes on them. And so what God showed Pharaoh in Genesis 21, I want to go there with you for a few minutes. My brother and sister, because this Shemitah, the God showed Pharaoh, my brother and sister, is different than other ones. Because in the Message Bible, when Joseph gave the interpretation of the Shemitah to Pharaoh, the skinny cow, the King James calls it skinny, my brother and sister, skinny is an aspect of a cow being sick. My brother and sister, I look up a report on this. I look up information on this. Before I can mention this, my brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to read some of the information just to show you. Hallelujah. When Pharaoh tells Joseph about this dream he had, he said that he was upset in verse 8. He called the magician and then none of them can and then interpret the dream of Pharaoh. My brother and sister. And then when they called Joseph, when nobody can give him the interpretation of the dream, then Joseph told Pharaoh that God will give Pharaoh the interpretation. Okay? Then verse 21, then Pharaoh says to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. Seven cows shimmering with health came up at the river and grazed on the marsh grass. Under a hill, seven more cows, all skin and bones, came up and never seen ugly cow anywhere in Egypt. You know what Pharaoh was talking about here? These cows were sick cow, my brother and sister. They had a disease in them that had made them sick where they could not eat. They could not eat. And we have had this in the United States many years ago also. These sickness, my brother and sister. And there's a report and article I found on this. Let me praise the Lord. Visual sign of cattle illness. When using visual appraisal, one of the most important signs of illness is the loss of appetite suppression, feed consumption, cattle exposed to respiratory disease begin to decrease in about 48 hours before it increases the body temperature. And this comes from a really respectable doctor here in the United States. The most effective time to observe the feeding or the behavior of the cattle is when they're fed each day. Unfortunately, this is difficult to monitor daily, seeing the pattern and grazing cattle, calves, and self feeder in the case. So the doctor saying this is hard for farmer to look at this, but the most obvious things that you will see as you're taking care of your cattle is the loss of appetite, that there's something going on with the cow. And then he began to explain, my brother insisted, the illness the cow will suffer from, especially when they begin to lose weight, my brother insisted. And this is what Pharaoh was looking at in Egypt, the sick cow that looked horrible, my brother insisted, that was hard to look upon because it looked so horrible. It's how Pharaoh described the cow he was looking at. These cows were sick cows, my brother and sister. And it tells you the way to test the cow and to test the illness on the cow and the treatment and all that and then the vaccination that you have to vaccinate the cow with, which of course they didn't have that back in Egypt. This is all modern information, my brother and sister. But the part is that the cow was sick. And this sickness only comes biblically when these shamitah, it's practically what is called double shamitah, like two shamitah in one, which basically doesn't happen very often. In 100 years, from 1900 to 2000, they only seen this three times, my brother and sister. That animal have come so ill and sick that they become so skinny, or like the thousands of chicken that they're killing because they're finding this sickness in these chicken, or the thousands and millions of pig in the U.S. and in Europe, they also are killing this past year because of the sickness they're also finding. From the end of 2021 to 2022, they're killing millions of pig, millions of chicken, millions of cow. Because the disease only comes three times in 100 years. And when they are detective, you got to kill the animal. Because it's like a virus. Or it is a virus, according to some of the doctors. It is a virus that comes through this famine. And when they detect them, they kill the animal. And this is what this shamita is. They are called the worst shamita in 100 years. My brother insisted. And one rabbi, I'm going to play you a brother later on. One rabbi say, my brother insisted, that these shamita, when they come, these double shamita or double-headed shamita, they come and they bring economy down. Back in 1936, when they had the shamita, it says that in that shamita, it affected Europe. In the entire United States, the economy all went down. This is when people had to line up for soup in the United States because there was no food. Cattle were sick. Animal was sick. It was a severe shamita. This is like the one starting in here in 2022, my brother and sister. This is why this shamita is concerning, because of the sickness that will that are coming out already, late 21, 2022. This is not what people think it's government doing or anything doing. They happens only within 100 years. But when they come, they are severe. And the United States and Europe have encountered these before. And the historian, these people that keep records of these things, they are severe. They create a crisis. As you see, shortage of baby food, shortage of gas. These are all part of the shamita, okay? Shortage of gas, part of the famine. And shortage of diesel also. Shortage of corn. Shortage of grain. And shortage of rice soon to come. And there are shortage of different things in the United States and Europe also. In Africa, across the country, across the world. These famine is from corner to corner of the earth. When they come, these are biblical end time famine, that when they come, government has no control. That's what Biden is surprised of the things that happened out of control, out of his hand, and ordered the military to help with the baby formula. Because these are of their control. And more will continue to happen within these 7 years. The beginning of this famine, a rabbi said that by September of this year, the crisis of this famine will be known by everyone to be highly increased. It's what these Shemitah are known for from the past, my brother and sister. So he said the worst is still to come. He says by September of 2022, the crisis will be that everyone will know. Everyone will feel them personally. This is just the beginning. And I, wow. Wait until you hear what Jesus told this man in regard to this crisis. So you see that this is not a coincidence. This famine, this seven-year famine is not a coincidence. And it's not like others before. This is much worse. These only come in 100 years, practically. They're different. And they will affect the whole world. And it will affect vegetable, fruit, animal, people, and much more. When China has the virus under control, it's out of control now. When South Korea has the virus under control, it's out of control now. They cannot even explain it. Their science, their expert cannot even explain it. We have this under control. One, an interview, a doctor was being asked, what happened? I thought you have, yeah, we have this under control. We don't know what happened. That's what this crisis of this famine brings. Things out of control in government and health and people and sickness and coal. My brother and sister, we need to pray. We need to intercede. We need to ask the Lord to keep us through this. My brother and sister, we really need to. Thank you, Lord. Praise your God. The Jewish people call a meeting in Israel. They have people all over the world, United States, Europe, all over the world, kind of meet one another and to discuss this 2022 Shemitah, my brother and sister, and to come up with a project and to come up with a solution for the problems, my brother and sister. Again, if they didn't believe the Shemitah would be so bad, they would have not called for this meeting. They had called for this meeting in Israel because they know the Shemitah is different. It's when you expect a death cancellation on the Shemitah because that is what's supposed to happen. But this rabbi said it's different. It's different. It's not going to be how people expect it to be. My brother and sister. So they call up a meeting and again, what they do, they pull out the money out of the market. They know the markets are going down, unstoppable, and they'll pull out the billions out of the market, the millions, and just pray, hope for the best for people, my brother and sister. But they know that nature and everything will be affected, my brother and sister, and they're concerned for Israel, what Israel is going to have. And all this, my brother and sister, because they know how many people will be affected and all this. I got the report right in front of me, but it's but one said that the next great depression and the next great, also he said, world transfer. But as he called it, the Great Depression. It's for the Shemitah in 2022. He also believes there will be a world transfer in the Shemitah for the people, my brother and sister. And then he, again, the Jubilee, the Feast of Trumpet this year, my brother and sister, is falling within a year, so something from heaven has to happen. Yes, this 7 year famine, there will be so much happening in regard to the land, the animal, and all that. But then there has to be a heaven intervention this year. because you got a jubilee. This is a jubilee year, my brother and sister. Okay, brother said monkey, chicken, flu also. And yes, they're having it bad with the vaccine in North Korea, in South Korea. So they are expecting this year to be the worst on one side, but there will be a blessing of world transfer this year. But, you know, look how many homes already are being sold. The home market was so high, people were selling their home and making money. Now, those that bought house in this high market, now they're reselling it quickly before they lose their saving. They're losing their money. They're losing their investment. My brother and sister, they are losing. They're scared now. They're wondering what they're going to do. This is all happening quickly. Okay? So in this word, Sister Carla will come first. Sister Barbara will come first. My brother and sister, but hear what this brother has to say. And then Sister Celestia will come on after that. Listen to this. Thank you, Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Killer 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today with the prophecy I received earlier today. Today is May 20th, 2022. So join me in the King James Version of Bible. I'm going to be in, well, I need some eyes to see here. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, let's start at verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Right, that's all I'm doing. And I was hearing parts of this yesterday, so I knew I was going to get a prophecy. Now, I have another one. Actually, it came up in my memories from last year, and it's, I'm going to say kind of similar to this one. Okay, here we go. These are perilous times. Walk by faith, not by sight. Use your spiritual eyes and ears. Do not trust in deceptive words. Call on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and show you the truth. Use your discernment. Be alert to lying signs and wonders. Holy Spirit coming. The great deception and strong delusion has begun. The fallen angels walk among you, looking like men, speaking like men. Look at this, Holy Spirit on me. And they are not men. Okay, let me say that again. Looking like men, speaking like men, and they are not men. Now, I was getting things about this when I was hearing the prophecy, and the Lord was having me look at things. Okay, he's going to give more here. They are not men. They are the rich and powerful, gifted and talented. They worship another God, not I am. Their father is the devil. Many publicly speak of their allegiance to him. Turn away from them. I am coming for my children. I'm coming for my children. Many will be removed and missing. They will be with me. I am. The evil ones will use this event as an opportunity to further their evil agenda. Humble yourself. Repent and call on me now. I will hear you. Wow. Okay. This is the Holy Spirit. I mean, so whatever is going to happen, we all have a general idea what is going to take place. He's giving you a straight-up warning to not trust what you see with your eyes. Now, look at this Holy Spirit all over me. Here's what he had me look up. He had me look, and I looked up this another time. He had me look up holograms. They're able to, I guess with lasers, I don't know the whole entire deal about holograms, but they're able to generate what looks like actual people or things and stick them, I want to say, in the sky that you see it. So we don't know what we're going to be seeing here. And he's clearly saying, don't trust what you see with your natural eyes. Use your spiritual eyes and have discernment, because they're going to try to, make you believe something that isn't true. That's how it comes down to the end. You don't want to be caught in the deception. Now, this is the other part. I am coming for my children. Many will be removed and missing. They will be with me. I am. Now, the Lord says he went away to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, and then he's coming back to get us. Now, if you're reading your Bible, you know that is in the Bible. So, apparently, when this happens, there's going to be some major deception or delusion given, I'm going to say, to whoever is, get this, left behind. You don't want that to be you. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He says in here, humble yourselves and repent. Humble yourselves, repent, and call on me now. This is what you need to do right now. Humble yourselves, repent from sins, turn from sinful situations or situation you're in that may be sinful. Turn away from it. Don't do it again. And call on him. He's listening. I have one out there that says at some point he won't hear the people calling because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. That is the bottom line. Clearly we're at the end. This is it. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read about that in Book of Acts, Acts 2:38. Now, he's talking about having discernment, calling on the Holy Spirit. You need to do this. You can't get by in these perilous days, perilous times. Okay, now, here's what I was stuck on. More than one day, I was stuck on lying, signs, and wonders. And I was thinking, We know what the Bible says about them worshiping an image of the beast. We don't know what we're going to be seeing yet or if there's things already set up out there. So have a plan. Make sure your house is in order. Jesus Christ is on the top of the list. Turn from your sinful ways. I'm even going to say have an emergency plan in case something bad happens. You have to go quickly or leave your area quickly. Have an emergency plan. Have some. And I was just looking at all of the headline news this morning about food shortages and things that potentially they're creating. That's what it came down to me anyway. But created food shortages. So make sure you have some supplies on hand. You never know what the next thing is going to be. Now, what other thing was that I find interesting in here? Okay. The fallen angels walk among you, looking like men. Now, I have that in another one, that the fallen angels, we will be able to see them again, or the people that are left here will be able to see them. Okay, I don't want to go too long on this. So I want to thank everyone right away. Everyone for the encouraging comments under the videos on the translations in other languages. Thank you everyone that supports the ministry financially so we can help other people. Thank you everyone that sends us things in the mail, cards, gifts, notes, all sorts of things we get. Thank you everyone. What else? YouTube. So please remember to subscribe if you're just visiting and hit the notification button so you know what's going on. If we get another prophecy, you'll be notified. And the Facebook pages, I'll put the link for Barbara or Godfather 7 under the video. Excuse me. I'll put the link for the Facebook page under there. What else did I want to mention here? So you could go on the Facebook pages and like and follow us there. You don't need to send a friend request. Okay, better get going because it's not going to upload. Every single time, it never fails. I had have a problem uploading. So God bless you all. Thank you, everyone, for everything. We love you guys, and have a blessed and safe day today. Come on, Paul, keep going. Have a blessed and safe day today. We love you guys.
Welcome to Bibelfrågor TV and Christ Divine Yard Assembly United again. And today we're going to talk about different things, but the focus, main focus, is the year 1968. Coming back in our time, and Ray have gotten some words about it from the Lord. He's going to reveal some stuff, and I will also come in from my perspective and say something about this, what's going on. But first of all, there's no need to fear. If you are in the Lord, if you're praying, there will always be a way for you. Even if it's about death, it will be a way for you with Jesus. Even if you're going to become a martyr in this situation, I don't know. But we have everlasting life. We have nothing to fear, not even death, because he promised us life even then. But there will be different things, and we all have our different ways. So if we just keep on praying, there's nothing to fear about what's coming. So that's I think it's the most important thing for us to understand about this. But anyway, Ray, I let you come in with what you saw now about the year 1968 and what is coming. I'm just going to, before I let you in, I'm just going to say something about the biblical calendar. Because this coming fall is so-called Shemitah year at the biblical calendar. That is the Sabbath year. And it's coming now. It was 2014 and 2015 was this year. And then 7-year period, and now we have 2021-2022. So something is coming. And this period in the Bible, if we read the scriptures, it was supposed to be a time of rest and a time of just relaxing and just enjoying what God has given. But our society, our culture, is denying God. So what was supposed to be a blessing might turn into a curse. Because we're not listening to the Lord. So that's just one thing. But I'll let you now go, Ray, and tell us what you have about this.
Thank you, Brother Oscar, and fellow brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. What the Lord spoke to me was relating to a crisis. When I was praying one morning, in my morning hours of prayer, and when I was praying and the Lord said by his spirit, he said, there is a crisis coming. And when I heard that, I paused for a while to understand what the Lord is saying. He said the crisis will affect the crisis will be all over the world, and many nations will not recover. So I was wondering, because the Lord said crisis, I was wondering, what kind of crisis, when I asked the Holy Spirit in my heart. And the Lord spoke. As he spoke, I saw it. He said, the crisis that happens in 1968 in the United States. Means when I spoke, I saw it. And I realized something, brothers and sisters, that what the Lord is saying is going to be similar like what happens in the United States in the 1968. But this time, it will not be only in the United States. It will be happening all around, all over the world. So I have no idea about the crisis in 1968. So I went to check, and when I checked, I had just a brief knowledge of it. I just read few lines about the crisis, and when I made the video, I told people, you can go and search about the crisis in the United States in 1968. And there was something outstanding. It started in 1968, and it was extended to the 1970s, you know. So the effects of the crisis had a repercussion, you know, it had waves. So it continues in different manifestation of the crisis. So there was something that the Holy Spirit put in my heart. And this is what I want to talk about. And I will allow Brother Oscar to speak so much on what God has also given to him. But this is what I heard from the Holy Spirit. This crisis, which the Lord is talking about, is going to be made manifest in different nations and in different ways. So I will just go through what the Holy Spirit put in my heart to share, so that we may have clue from the scriptures. I will speak from the Bible perspective, so that we can understand generally on what the Lord is saying. But before I go to this, I want to say this. The Lord is speaking to us, and he's giving us the knowledge to bring forth these messages. It's not to bring fear, it's to bring preparation. If we look from the time of when God created the heaven and earth in Genesis chapter 1, down to the time in the book of Revelation, it has always been God and God alone. God speaking to his people, warning them of time which is ahead, telling them on how to prepare. God loves us. He loves every of his creation. If you are a sinner listening today, God loves you. He hates the sin that you are committing, but he loves you as a person because he is your father. He is the one that has created you. So you need to know this. If you are not born again, the Lord Jesus is speaking through this message that there is something ahead coming. You need to prepare. And that preparation is only in Christ. You can prepare physically, but there is a preparation of your soul. So that when we put away this flesh, our spirit man, our soul, have life and abundance. That our life will not end when we are put on the ground, but our life continues in God through Christ. Now, this is what we should understand about Christ. From Genesis chapter 1, the earth was without form and void. When God looked at the earth, it was without form and void. The Bible says there was darkness upon the face of the earth, and there was water that filled the entire earth. And God spoke everything into existence, and God said, it is good. State of the earth before God created it, there was a form of a crisis. Darkness and flooding was occupying the face of the earth. God was the one that spoke everything we are seeing into existence. So before God spoke, there was a crisis upon the face of the earth. So if we want to understand crisis, we should also think about darkness and flooding. So the second thing the Holy Spirit also spoke to me, he said when God has created the heaven and earth, and Adam, he made a garden east of Eden, and he put Adam there. So Adam and Eve, there was no requirement for them to work in order for them to eat. He made everything available for them to eat. So what happened when Adam disobeyed God? What happened? God sent them out of the comfort zone where everything was made for them by God, for them to enjoy. So what happens after the disobedience? They were sent out to walk, to till the ground for them to eat. We need to understand that disobedience brought from such some kind of a crisis that man need to work hard to till a solid ground when there was never any rain upon the face of the earth. Man become a laborer for them to eat. They labored so much for them to eat. And women come, there was a pain that woman has to go through in childbirth. So we need to understand that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it came such form of a crisis that everything became difficult for them to eat. They have to sort, they have to discover what they have to eat, they have to fend for themselves. So we need to understand that this is another form of a crisis which we can see all over the world. People are moving from places to places looking for a fertile ground where they can eat. We can see the shortage of food in the world today. So we should pay attention on this. Now, we can also see that also in the days of Noah, we also saw that giants and wickedness was upon the face of the earth. We saw that the giants were eating so much food and they cannot be taken care of anymore. We can see that in the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch is also mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter 6. So in the days when the giants were upon the face of the earth, there was a form of crisis. We need to understand that we are approaching the same day. Our Lord Jesus said, our days will be like the days of Noah. He made it clear to us. And the book of Daniel explained to us about the iron and clay, telling us about the supernatural being coming to mingle with the sons of men. We need to understand that there was a form of crisis when the giants came upon the face of the earth. So we should expect similar crisis when the giant comes. And also we saw that there was also a crisis upon the face of the earth, flood in the days of Noah, when God said that he should destroy the face of all the being and the living things upon the face of the earth, and he preserved Noah and the wife and his children and the few animals which God himself chooses. There was what? There was such form of a crisis. We can see all over the world, in Switzerland, in Germany, in Belgium, there is flood, there's water rising. You can watch all over the news today, there is flooding. In our prayer meeting yesterday, we were interceding. There is flooding happening in all different nations. Land that was a dry land now is overshadowed with what? With water. We should understand this is another manifestation of crisis. If we look at the days of Abraham and in the days of Isaac, the Bible said in the days of Abraham, there was a famine and Abraham moved to Egypt. And in the days of Isaac, there was a famine and he wanted to move to Egypt and the Lord said, no, stay in the land of the promise and I will make you fruitful. And we need to understand that famine is another form of a crisis that it can be made manifest. If God said this crisis will happen all over the world, it means for certain it will take its manifestation in different forms and in different ways, in different nations. So I am going through this in the scripture for us to understand that this kind of crisis has been before. It has happened before. But what makes this different is this. This is going to happen in a large scale all over the world at the same time. That every nation will be handling something on their own, and there will be no rescue team here and there. Every nation will be under some kind of a crisis that they need to deal with. Now, the only safety for our nation, for a person individually, is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only safety. A nation can be preserved and be protected if that nation submits to the Lord. A person can be preserved, protected, and even receive supernatural provision if that person submits to the Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord is a good God. He will preserve both the wicked and the righteous because he sees the heart of men and he knows the end of every matter.
Hello again and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. Please make sure that you, if you are a new subscriber, that you will use the playlists that have been made on this blog. Someone may have referred these videos to you, or maybe you've been praying to the Lord and you've been asking him to show you what the truth is. You've been saying, Father, there is so much information out there and so many people are contradicting themselves. I just want to know what you really have to say. I really am seeking your true revelation. Then God bless you, because he has brought you to the right place. He has brought you to the place where God is doing a work of refinement, and whoever wants to submit their heart, their mind, their body, soul, and spirit to the Lord. And the prophecy for today is sort of a part of the Supernatural series, but also quite apart from it. It's quite a standalone prophecy. And as I received this prophecy this morning, this was really early. This was maybe 4:30-ish, 5 a.m. that the Lord woke me up. And that's how I was able to finish compiling it and putting it on the blog by about 6:40 or 6:50 this morning. As soon as I opened my eyes, God was speaking about these things. And the way that God put it made me understand that things that God has been warning about since 2017 and 2018, I wouldn't say he's been publicly warning about them. He's been speaking to me about them and telling me, one day, Celestial, this will happen and you will see. Things that he has been warning about, things that I put on the blog in 2019 and 2020, we are now starting to see just a few fingers of them coming out, and it's going to get much worse. So if you're new and God has led you here, or a family member recommended you here, and you finally decided to stop by and see what's happening, the best way to catch up with where everybody else is, where I am in the different series, is that the Lord has led me to make these prophecies in series. So I have a medical playlist about what was the biggest medical emergency in the whole wide world. I cannot really say these things out loud, but there is a medical playlist. You will find it. There's a picture of an elephant. That is very important for everyone to be aware of. There's the Russia and China playlist. Russia and China playlist is the most important playlist on the Master's Voice. What's the reason for that? Because the final end of America. This is basically after a whole ton of stuff that I have prophesied over the last 3 years in written form, and over the last going on 2 years. The end of all that is going to be the eventual total capture of this country and a gross enslavement of its people by the twin horns of Russia and China. So please understand that the things that I'm saying here are not from TV. This is not a TV-based channel where I need to read the news and whatever. In fact, those of you who come to this channel know that many of the things that the Lord reveals here through me are directly contrary to what the news will say. So the news will say one thing, but the Lord is saying another thing. And the thing is that God said his things first. And so sometimes there's a dichotomy. Things don't match up and people are confused and saying, but that's not what we're seeing. And all I have to say is that prophecy doesn't come to back up United States news media. That's not who God is. God isn't the cheerleading squad of CNBC or whatever sees they call themselves. The Lord speaks. And please understand that this entire earth will march to only one tune, and that is the tune that is coming forth from the mouth of the Lord. So today's prophecy is a part two of a prophecy that I gave, I think, it's either sometime earlier this year or it is, just a moment, please. I think I can find that. Yes. It was at the very end of 2021, and that prophecy is called A People of Madness, and this word that the Lord gave me is called A People of Madness Part 2. It is looking at and discussing what happens when a society overflows with sin to the point that we begin to see another nature breaking through. So human beings, we are tripartite nature. We are body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And we are made in God's image. That doesn't mean that we are exactly like him. It means that the attributes of God have been carefully put into us so that we mirror the beauty of what our Father is. But when we use this body, especially which the Lord calls his temple, when we use this body in ways that are extremely destructive, so when we begin to abuse our bodies, such as abusing food, abusing emotion, abusing what we allow into our minds, abusing what we allow into our eyes and our ears, what we allow to settle into our hearts and take root, something happens. We are made in the image of the Father, but the Father has no place from which he can fall. It is man that is fallen. It is man that needs to be restored back to oneness with God. But what happens when man continues to break and flout the laws of God? This temple, this home in which our soul and our spirit dwell, becomes broken down. It becomes like a city of broken down walls. And once that happens, Satan is able to pass in and out of this body, just like you pass in and out of the turnstile at the train station. So just imagine a revolving door, a door that doesn't actually have a lock. You can just get in it and go around as many times as you want. You can get out of the door if you want to. You can get into the door. Or like these electronic doors that open immediately when they sense a person standing in front of them. When the human body actually has no gates and no walls, because the human heart inside that body has no restraint, no respect for God, no knowledge of God, no honor for God's laws, is not walking in God's ways, then no matter how a person looks on the outside, that person basically becomes a victim and easy prey for the devil. And God is revealing here that because of the lifestyles that people continue to lead in America and have led for decades, getting more and more open, more and more provocative, more and more fearless and rebellious in the face of God, even cursing God openly, and no one can deny that this happens. You don't even have to come to New York City to hear God being cursed. You just have to put on the TV, and the Lord was discussing all these things, that his name is blasphemed on TV. The Lord Jesus' name is used as a curse word on TV. And so when this happens, the only and final result that can happen is that Satan will come and be enthroned in that country, and that is exactly what I saw in A People of Madness, Part 1. In A People of Madness, Part 1, the Lord showed me a huge snake. When I say huge, I'm talking about a snake that is approaching me in a dream, and yet the snake is extending so far into the distance that you cannot tell how long the snake is. I have seen the snake so often in relation to America, in terms of how America worships. The Lord says that even in Christian communities, they think they're worshiping him, but by the music and the secularization of the church, Satan has come in and established himself as the God of most churches. Most churches are not run by the Spirit of God. Most churches are not even worshiping the true God. They are worshiping an effigy, which just means a kind of form or entity that you put together with sticks and stones and little bits of straw, almost like a scarecrow. The true God is not studied in many American churches. The true Jesus Christ is not known or understood. And so when you have false study, false teaching, false sermons, false pastors, false prophets overrunning a country, as they surely flourish in this nation, you will obviously have a false God that sets himself up on a false throne to receive all that false noise. And this is the snake that the Lord showed me. And he said that this is the same snake that deceived the ancient populations of the Incas and the Aztecs and those ancient South American tribes, that most of them were also established here in North America. And he said that they were deceived by that same serpent, who is basically Satan. And the Lord was showing me the snake and saying, as you see, this snake has totally taken power and gained strength in America, Celestial. This is how these people will eventually receive spiritual madness in their heart. And they will pick up arms and they will basically murder each other in this country until their blood runs in the street. So in A Prophecy, A People of Madness, December 5th, 2021, God was telling me that America will have a civil war that is more brutal and more bloody and takes a higher casualty than her first civil war. Her first civil war was over land rights, property rights, including black people as slaves. But her second civil war will be triggered from so many different angles. Basically, the hearts of people will degenerate, which means break down, rot, and decay. As the Bible says, the love of many will grow cold, and people will become stone-cold killers in this country until they pick up arms, separate, turn around, and fire on one another. And so this second word is looking closely at the process of how that will happen. And it will happen through a demonic onslaught that this world has never seen. Now, there are aspects of this prophecy that affect all countries, but God is looking at particularly what will happen in America as her punishment for sin. A People of Madness, Part 2. The banner scripture is this. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that, they go to the dead. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 3. And so here is the word. There are about to be major instances or major outbreaks of these things. Multiple personality disorder, depression, manic depression, suicide, rage, clinical depression, murder, suicide, schizophrenia, psychotic breaks, psychotic episodes, madness, insanity, mental breakdowns of all sorts will be reported in the United States. These will be, says the Lord, a people of madness. And so I have not had the time today to go and Google, as I normally would, go and Google all these different disorders. But most of what I have just read out falls under the heading of what is called psychosis. Psychosis is the field of study that deals with the human mind, how the human mind perceives, receives, processes, and outputs information. So our learning curve is pretty simple. We come into this world, we have a brain, but it is empty of everything except basic instincts, such as the need for warmth and care and food and sleep in the bathroom. And then on this empty computer, information is eventually loaded by first parents, then schools, then the outside social environments. So whatever kind of person you are right now, you are the outcome of the kind of education you've had, you are the outcome of the kind of parents who raised you, what they believed in, what they passed on to you, how much of that you've retained into adulthood, how much of that you've thrown away because you want to forge your own philosophy, how much you absorb from TV, news, media sources, articles, and basically whatever you are, you have a very strong part to play in the type of person that you are and what you believe. For Christians, our primary and overarching teacher is the Word of God. This means that to any person watching this video at any time from the day I'm making it today, which is May 18, 2022, until whenever someone finds this video in the future, you are meant to be led in your choices, your viewpoints, your preferences, and how you live your life by what God's word says. God's word is unbreakable and unbendable. The views of society and the views of mankind, as we all know by reading any book on history, have constantly changed over time. Human beings pride themselves on being evolutionary beings, which for purposes of this video, I will simply concede as being beings whose needs and views change over time. But God is not an evolutionary being. God is as he was from the beginning of all things, and God will forever be as he was until the end of all things with no changing. Meaning that if you want to understand God and if you want to become truly a child that follows God, You need to internalize what God's word says and use it as a kind of film to clear all ideas and viewpoints that you may have picked up from your parents, that you may have picked up from your ethnic background, that you may have picked up from where you grew up, the country that you grew up in, or some traumatic experiences that you experienced in your youth, or even some glorious experiences that you have picked up that have defined you. The word of God is the final filter that should tell a Christian who they are. So now if we hear God saying that in this nation, people are about to start experiencing a breakdown in how the human mind works. People are about to start experiencing a breakdown in how the human mind and heart are supposed to process information, how human beings are supposed to emote or handle life emotionally, mentally, and that will have an effect on their physical actions. Then God is basically telling us that outside of science, something deeper is about to happen to people that will cause visible scattering in how they process information mentally, and then we will visibly see them acting in ways that are completely opposite to what is acceptable and normalized behavior in society. So God says, because America will not return to him but continues to fill itself, because you will not return to me, but you fill yourselves with images of rape and hate and violence and murder and savagery of all sorts, the devil will dwell among you and you will lose your minds. For this is all you look at on TV, even Christians. Your favorite show is filled with violence, sexual images, cursing, and homosexuality. And that has compromised your mental gates. The devil will find it extremely easy to breach them and take over. Now, the Lord is saying that the kind of content that people, even people who call themselves Christians, are absorbing is so destructive to the psyche. And this is something that I have noticed even in those who come to this channel. They mention things that, personally, I wouldn't take my eyes there. But then they say, oh, I've seen the entire series, and all I'm thinking is, how did you last through a series that's listed with all these different letters that they use to show what is in these shows? But people sit in front of them, and the Lord was giving the reasons that they sit in front of them. He said that people in America have such a high tolerance for sin. A high tolerance for something means that something that would affect someone else negatively, if they had a small amount of it, someone else can have a very high amount and nothing will happen to them. So one kid can try his first try of weed or something or ecstasy, and he will have an adverse reaction and either suffer a mental breakdown or can even die. And another kid can be doing such unbelievable amounts of these toxic substances, and nothing will happen to them. And God says that the souls of people in America have such a high tolerance for sinful material that they don't even see anything wrong with it. They watch open sex and violent rapes in movies, but then claim that it's a revolution about the empowerment of movies. It's like this. See how she fought back. Watch this movie and see how she fought the system. Or watch this movie and see how she got her attackers back, how she revenged. So these themes are put in front of people, and people watch them because the theme of violence and the theme of murder and even watching a full-length rape scene on TV is being justified to them by the fact that, oh, look and see how she turned it around, or look and see how he got revenge because they killed his wife or whatever. And God says that people also accept this and they watch it. So these movie people are not to blame. The person who is to blame, the person who God will question about this type of viewing substance or viewing agenda, is the people who are accepting this and allowing themselves to do it. The Lord says they watch people killing each other and they stare at blood-soaked scenes because they think it's acceptable. After all, a hero is going to come along and correct all the violence. So they tolerate and even celebrate these images when the hero commits the same murders with the same vengeance. There is bloodlust in this population. There is no law and order in America. They do not acknowledge, seek, honor, or celebrate spiritual things. So that means that this is a carnal society, a flesh-led society, a society that wants to consume scenes of sex, violence, murder, rape, even in the video games. The more you kill people, the higher points that you are rewarded, the more you upgrade from a fairy to an orc to becoming the biggest dragon, you get more points. So there's no holiness, the Lord says, and no separation. And that is why death will come into the society in a thousand ways, he said. There is only death in a thousand ways waiting to happen to them. So you, Celestial, proclaim the word of the Lord. The people are watching porn. This is even in movies that don't call themselves porn movies. These scenes are everywhere, and this is a high marketing point, and this is why movies have become so successful to men and women alike. Satan is stoking the sexual urge of people, and they are sitting there and not only allowing it, but craving it and pursuing it. And there will be no excuse for these things when the Lord comes to take a final account of a person's life. So if you are someone who has this habit, your favorite show just has people in it drinking and smoking, or a drunk woman next door that's watching murders take place in a house next door, all these things, God is going to hold Netflix accountable separately, but you will answer for why you click there every week, every month, why shows like Lucifer are number one in the United States. People who are making these shows number one, they either don't know God, but then there are Christians who claim that they're watching it for research purposes. And just understand that there are certain things you can claim that you're watching them to understand more about what the devil is doing, but the cost is the defilement of your soul. And then later, as the Lord says, demonic entities, demonic beings, and demonic personalities will appear in people's homes. You will not have Netflix to blame on that day. It will be solidly at your door. The Lord says that because of a high tolerance for sin in society, the number of people whose minds will be taken over by demons, demonic beings, and demonic personalities will skyrocket in America. Mental illness of all kinds, clinical level 1, 2 and higher, will be reported on a national and unprecedented level. Violent crimes as the direct result of mental illness will skyrocket, and even normal people who have never struggled with these things will see how it affects them, all because sin has bled into their lives. So when something bleeds through is when you have perhaps an ink pen in your pocket and the pen has a break and the ink is slowly coming through your shirt, but you're not aware of it until someone goes, oh no, look at that. And then you see this huge ink stain, and that thing is the outcome that is visible to everyone. God says that when mental illness hits on a massive scale, basically, the word he used is skyrocketed, which means that the psychiatrists, the psychologists, the hospitals, the care homes, and basically even the final institutions where they put people when they become unhelpable in the eyes of society, he says that admissions to all these places will skyrocket, and so will violent crime as a result of that. People watching porn. He said people crave to watch the undead. This is all your Nephilim. This is all your zombie movies. This is your zombie games. This is your end of world games, your end of world movies. He said people are watching open sex scenes in the movies and things like that. And all of this is stoking bloodlust in people. Therefore, people will start to find supernatural entities standing in their room. I've spoken of this before. People are going to be sleeping and wake up and there will be a shape. These demons are not going to play any type of games. And I have been saying this at least on my Facebook platform for a long time, as well as in many of these videos. When Satan gets ready to manifest, he is not going to waste any time manifesting as an angel of light. Satan is going to show up in forms that will give people a stroke right away when they see it. Because most of us, we don't keep in mind the end game of the devil, and this is why it's so easy to fool and seduce modern Christians today. We focus so much on the Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus gave his life for you, which is the core of the gospel, but it is not being taught to this modern day church that discipleship goes hand in hand with the love of God. Yes, God loves us, but at the end of four Gospels, he left a clear instruction. Go you into all the world and make disciples of all nations. A disciple is a disciplined, well-trained follower of Jesus Christ. So if I can link it back to what I said before, you're not just following Jesus plus your own opinion. You're not following Jesus, but then you still have sympathy for Roe versus Wade. You're not following Jesus, but then saying, oh, you know, but God is love, and so love is love, so don't say anything about those people's alternative lifestyle. You have determined to conform in your mind and the spirit of your mind. Did you hear what I said? There is a spirit of the mind. So you not only have a mind, which is your thoughts, your views, and whether you want to have a roast beef sandwich or a chicken sandwich for lunch, there is a spirit that rules the mind. If the spirit ruling a believer's mind is not the Holy Spirit, that means that any other spirit can sit itself on the throne of your mind, and you will be the one who allows that based on what you watch, what you consume, the music you listen to. If you're doing half and half, you're going to have holes in your faith. And when you have holes in your faith, you will have holes in your life, your relationships, and in your home. What was coming to my heart before I made this video is, Lord, just imagine if I can explain it like this. You have a house, and you're in that house, and you have certain practices that greatly lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you have certain other practices that greatly lift up your flesh, or that greatly lift up prevailing world mindsets. What happens is that this compromises the integrity of both your physical house and yourself. Now imagine 2 7-foot or 9-foot demons walking by outside. These things do exist, and the fact that human beings think that this world respects what their eyes can see just goes to show that mass confusion will erupt when demons begin openly taking their physical form. Because the Lord said in this prophetic word that the difference, the division between the dimensions of our realm and the spiritual realm are breaking down. They are breaking down. What's breaking it down? Sin is breaking down the buffer zone that the Holy Spirit occupies that keeps us from being exposed to visible things like angels, to visible things like the glory of the Lord. The Holy Spirit preserves the physical body and the senses, the literal sanity of men, by keeping us blind to 99.99999% of what is strolling around on this planet with us. But as I have been saying for years, the increase of sin, the increase of lying, stealing, fornicating. People keep coming to this channel and saying, oh, but marriage is just, you know, when a man and a woman, you know, come together. You are ignorant, and you are signing yourself up on the dotted line to be one of those that will actually either have a yoke around your neck and go into captivity. When the people who practice sexual immorality in this country go into captivity, or worse, you will find a 10-foot boyfriend in your house, and then you will get to investigate in detail whether marriage is simply by sleeping with a person. If you think that fornication with girlfriend one and then fornication with girlfriend two is what God sees as marriage, both of these options will be open to people who think like that, and I will not need to say anything further because I will not be a part of that number. As sin increases in the world, I will just say these things. I'm just going to speak these things. As sin increases in the world, it does something. This thing appears to me in dreams like a weakening of some kind of field, right? So some kind of covering, some kind of protection exists over us and over this world we live in. But as we sin, it's like continuing to fire bullets at that thing. And each time a person sins, it weakens Therefore, if a person is sinning at their house, it's weakening the protective field over the body, and it's weakening the field over their children, over their home. That's why Jesus is insistent that we cease and depart from sin. It is crucial, and I'm very passionate about this. And people just think, oh, you're too hard, but I'm not too hard. Sin will cost you your destiny. It will cost you your marriage. 5 minutes of pleasure will have you as a single divorced woman if you are not careful. It will have you as a husband kicked out of the house at this time in life where it is not easy to get a good Christian wife who will support you unto your gray hairs. People are gambling away their future for 5 to 10 minutes of pleasure because they entertain in their minds ideas of what would it be like and how would it feel. And I think I'm strong enough to handle this. I'll just watch this entire series where they just keep using FFFFF because I'm a mature Christian and I can handle it. This is deception and lies that is going to cost people dearly. And many times I have shared in these prophecies, if people are listening, that these are not costs you want to pay. Whether you are a single person, God is talking about people in one of the prophecies from 2019, people that continue in sexual immorality. God was showing me in my face worms that will come into the bodily cavities of men and women. Whether you're sexualizing yourself in the front or at the back, worms, actual maggots. I saw the vision, and the doctors wanted to throw up, and they ran from the room to vomit. And God let me feel that the doctors were perplexed. How can this happen? And some doctors were angry that they had to see that. They were angry that they had to treat patients like that. And the Lord said, this is the punishment for immorality in the body. So when I sit here and I take the time to bring out the Lord's word, God help me. And then people come here and say, oh, you know, marriage is actually just two come together. You keep coming together and the demon will come together with you. It will no longer be two in the bed. It will be three and five in the bed. Because God says that these entities will manifest physically. They will sleep with people by force. Entities will touch them and rape them as it was in the days of old. You, male, you, female, they will lay hands on you. And after that, there will be a complete and total mental reset of the fact that when God says that marriage is a covenant that must be recognized in the eyes of others, then you will realize that he's not also extending his covering to cover the fact that you want to shack up with whoever you feel you can shack up with and call it a marriage. I just thought that I would put that in there because it is in there. And these are things that the Lord is always strongly warning about. Spent 6 months in the immorality and the sexual immorality series, the sin series, listing all the things that God says are sin that causes damage to the body, damage to the mind, damage to the heart and the soul, and shuts the door. There will come a time when these actions, all of them, will shut the door and there will be no return. These creatures will take your mind to a place that the biggest, fattest deliverance minister will not be able to fetch it back from. You will literally live in that strange, twisted world with them, always. That will be the ending of it. No one will be able to fetch you back from that realm. In this world, we will just see you in a gown rocking, and they'll just give you pills and injections to keep you quiet. But where you will actually be is a realm of torment. Torment means pain that cannot be borne, pain that should not be felt by anyone, mental anguish and torture. When the Lord says that something is breached, it's exactly like a castle wall, exactly like a castle wall that enemies keep hitting and hitting and hitting until it disintegrates and they can come through and destroy. There will be breach of the human body in a thousand ways because of the thousand entry points that the average person leaves available to the devil through sin. These entities will even attack children who live in uncovered vessels, uncovered homes, as well as adults. So I was talking about living in a house where you're compromising God sometimes, Satan sometimes, serving God sometimes, Satan sometimes. It leaves holes. Now, if there's a 7-foot and a 10-foot demon walking down the street and they see a Christian's home with holes, or worse, they see two atheist people happily married for 18 years, their youngest is maybe 16 and the eldest is out of the house and the 16-year-old has his own 16-year-old male life and preferences. And those demons look at that house. There's a massive hole in the kitchen, in the spirit, a massive hole on the left side of the house, massive hole in the garage, and two huge portals in the basement. And maybe, let's make it interesting. Let's say that there's a 4-year-old child in the house. So the youngest is 4. Why do people have this mindset that the demons are going to go, oh, you know, Mahalalel, we shouldn't go into that house because there's an infant in the house. And the other one will go, you're right, Jezreel, we shouldn't. These are fallen angels. These are demons. These are all types of spiritual entities that I have, by the grace of the Lord, been covering here for over a year and a half. Does the Bible teach anyone that Satan is a sympathetic being, that he actually operates by morals like, oh, there's a child present, I shouldn't do this? The Bible says, be aware that your enemy is like a roaring lion. If a 4-month-old is left in front of a roaring lion, do you think that the lion operates by the social mores of, this is a tender small child, I should not eat this one? Those demons will laugh their heads off and pounce into that house to wreak havoc. Now, the only difference is that spiritual warfare, we fight it in the unseen. But the Lord is saying that spiritual warfare is going to put on boots and be physical and tangible and manifest itself. As spiritual wickedness from the high places, this is talking about the princes, like the ones that delayed Daniel's prayers, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. As spiritual wickedness now from the high places comes among you, incidences of violence and mayhem will increase until you no longer recognize your beloved society, America. As the fallen angels watch their children perish, so you will watch America perish for what she has done against me. Return to me, I said. I will heal you. I will cleanse and wash you. I will take away your iniquities. But you would not. Therefore, the penalty of your sin has arrived. This is the word of the Lord. So the Lord is basically saying that spiritual dimensions are going to, and are in fact already ruling this nation. But now we're going into the time where the physical outcomes of it will happen. So there was a prophecy, I think it's called A Nation of Turmoil, and it's a 3-part prophecy, and what I was talking about there is the fact that there would be an increase in bombings in America. So it's not any form of terrorist, the Lord said. It's happening here, and he said it was being paid for by from the very top. So there's going to be bombings and more shootings and mass deaths, and he said that this will happen without warning. So it won't be until the shooting starts that you actually know, oh, shooting is happening here today, like we have tragically seen in recent days here in New York City, twice at the subway and at that supermarket. Please forgive the noise. And so, here are some of the things the Lord says we can expect to see, and we will start seeing more of this because, quite frankly, we're already seeing it now. People will go mad, so people will just go crazy. People are just going to lose their minds. They're going to break with reality. They're going to start saying things that literally have no placing in the real world. They will not be able to distinguish what we mean by real world, and that is what will happen. People will act violently without warning, and many will be killed in this way. People will hear voices talking to them, telling them to do unimaginable, horrible things, and many people will do them. And God says that those who manage to fight off the voices and don't actually do those things will still struggle with the voices until many of them will not be able to withstand that choir of demonic voices talking to them night and day, and they will have to be put in an institution. They will no longer be able to cope. He says that the result of a wayward nation, which means basically a nation that hates God and does not want to listen when God is speaking and always wants to have the last word, the end of that nation is a madness that will sting like bees. People will claim that they heard God, but the Lord says that it is paranoid delusion. It is Satan manipulating their minds from the dark realm to destroy them. This has no limit. So this does not mean that a rich person cannot suffer from this. This has no age limit. This has no class unit, no limit, no race unit. It can and will happen everywhere. And the Lord has revealed that some of these things will even happen to Christians because those Christians are not standing in the full armor of the Lord. They are not living committed lives to God. Notice I did not say perfect lives to God. You can be struggling, but when you commit yourself into the hands of the Lord, you are imitating what Jesus did when he was struggling with the process of dying on the cross. He cried out and he said, Lord, into your hand I commit my spirit. It does not mean that Christian life has to be perfect, non-messy, or easy. But God knows the hearts of the people who want to be his above the struggle, above the noise of the devil. And it is those people who will continually receive his precious grace to keep going. Grace is not a hall pass to sin. This is what modern church, especially in America, has taught Christians. Grace is just to cover up your sin, just pick it up with a little pooper scooper. No. Grace is the divine empowerment of God for you to struggle against sin and win. If you're using grace in any other way, you are an abuser of grace. And in the day that grace goes away, how sad a person you will be. Because after that comes full judgment. You cannot take God for a fool. You cannot mock this person and think that you will get away with it. People will act as God as megalomania increases in America. Megalomania is basically losing your mind and starting to think that you are everything from Napoleon the Great, or basically starting to think that you are God. A lot of these transhumanist people, the ones who are telling us that our souls are such a problem and we just need to get rid of them so we can upgrade and upstep and all the ups, these are megalomaniacs, people who imagine themselves to be greater, stronger, better, wiser than God. They can imagine a better future for mankind than God, but the Lord has his plans in store for them. God says that people will lose their minds and they won't be able to hold on to job, family, relationships, a normal life. And many of these people will fall through the cracks of the system because the system will be overloaded with this type of thing. And they will end up on the streets. Their families are not equipped to help them. The hospitals will eventually get tired, overwhelmed, and begin to process these people almost like a by the letters. Okay, you're crazy. What type of crazy? You saw who? Santa came to you and told you that you were Jesus? Okay. And they're just going to write it like that, and they will not care. And God said that because of this, there is a coming surge of homelessness. People will become homeless because of mental issues. He said the other coming surge of homelessness, I've discussed this many times, is going to come simply because the economic situation in this country is going to become untenable. If anyone thinks this comes from Bloomberg, no, because I've been saying it while America was going through her golden age and everybody was saying it was a bull market or whatever that means. He says that the global economy will force people on the streets because of losing their jobs, because of financial hardship, because of the irresponsible way people spend money, and also because of the fact that the U.S. dollar is going to totally flatline and crash. So people will see demons, they will see spirits, and they will start to have dreams featuring very real experiences of demons until they will be terrified to sleep. They will be living under severe fear and mental torture. God says that people will literally be afraid to sleep, or afraid to have dreams. And this will eventually make them unable to function during the day, especially when these creatures begin showing up to them, either in visions or in real life, in a room where other people cannot see it, but they can see it. They will be hysterical and they will have breakdown. And for a moment, I will just break and go to a prophecy that is no longer here on YouTube. It was removed, but the title of it is, I think, I'll just call it Do Not Take the Solution. I will be sure to leave the link below. And it is directly related to the harm that causes harm, the harm that goes in the arm. And the Lord said that one of the outcomes, one of the symptoms of when people begin to suffer from the harm is they will totally go into a paranoid universe, and entities, including these gray entities, as I saw in one prophecy, will begin attacking people. I saw a young man, he was about 17 or 18 years old, terrified because two or three grays appeared in real life in the home, and this grown boy had his mother in a body lock, trembling with his head on her tummy, just saying, "Mom, please, they're here, they've come for me, don't leave me." And this woman could not see squat. She couldn't see anything, but she, because she's a mom and the terror of her son, you cannot deny when a person is scared. It doesn't even matter. Many medical professionals will be honest and say, our patients have seen things. We have seen the fear. We have seen the sweat. We have seen the tears. Their response is not the response of crazy. The only problem is that we cannot believe them because nothing is visible. I assure you, because of sin in this world, the unimaginable and the invisible will be on the street with us. And it will start first in these people who have the dimensions broken for them because of sin, and also because it is a punishment upon the land. God says that people will feel things. They will feel things physically touching them. They will feel heat. They will feel burns. They will feel cold and freezing cold, and they will feel their bodies being touched and used while they are asleep.